Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Charles Whelan is back. Charles is a great friend of ours. Coming up on, in fact, this month is his sixth anniversary as a member of our Brain Trust. How about that? And I think we pretty much helped him launch all of his books. Naked Economics, the Centrist Manifesto. I know we've talked about that one. His new book is called Naked Money, A Revealing Look at What It Is and Why It Matters. He's a professor of economics and public policy at Dartmouth College. He's our good friend, Charles Whelan. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's good to be back.
It's good to have you back, Charles. Congratulations on your new book. It's a very important book. Most of us don't have a. We like money. We like what it buys, but we don't really understand it. And I'll set everything up by reminding everybody something I've talked about on the show before, and that is what Adam Smith said about money. He said money is one of the three most important things humans ever invented. The other being the economic tables what was the other one? The written word. That was the third one. Anyway, money's a big deal, isn't it?
It's a huge deal, but it's a deal because it allows us to do other things. A lot of times we don't pay much attention to it, and we should also emphasize when we talk about money, we're not talking about wealth.
Right.
Your house is wealth, but it's not money. The difference is that wealth is a store of value. It is something that throws off a stream of income and provides for you. But money is something that allows you to facilitate transactions. It allows you to buy and trade and do other things. So it's really hard to conduct commerce with your house because you can't divide it up into little pieces.
Historically, money helped raise barter helped us get rid of the clunky barter economy, and it really allowed markets to flourish, didn't it, and trade.
It does, and the best way to appreciate that is just to imagine your day without some medium of exchange. So you get up, you go buy coffee, and you try and trade the guy some apples, or maybe
right.
I would give him a new book, but he doesn't want to read the book, so I don't get my coffee, and you know, then I go to lunch, I got to do the whole thing over again, you got to pay your rent. You know, in tangerines or something like that, whatever you happen to make, and the landlord takes the tangerines, he's going to get rid of them. Money just puts everything in a common denominator, and it allows us to trade, which is, of course, what makes us richer and more productive.
So what do we need to know about money that we don't already know? Most of us are saying, I've been using money all my life. I know about money.
Well, when I talk about money in the book, I'm really talking about three things. One is money is a medium of exchange, and we'll come back to why that's so weird and what you need to know about it. The second is banking. And 2008 should be the shorthand as to why you need to know more about banking, because it's a great thing, but there are also inherent frailties to any banking system that make it vulnerable. And the last is central banking, which is, of course, the system that oversees that frail banking system. And, of course, again, 2008 and beyond, we know why that matters. But to go back to money, I think the interesting thing about it is it's harder to define than you would think. So we're going to talk about Bitcoin, I think, in the second half, and the question of whether Bitcoin – I actually don't think Bitcoin fits the conventional definition of money, but there are some strange examples of things that have served as money. You know, anything that's an effective medium of exchange. So, for example, if you go back to a prisoner of war camp in World War II, it might have been cigarettes. If you go to a prison in the United States where cash is disallowed, they use packets of mackerel, not tins of mackerel, because then they'll strangle each other, but packets of mackerel. It was salt for the Romans. It was wampum when we met the Native Americans.
Look at what they purchased Manhattan with, right?
Yeah, so I think when you think about what works as a medium of exchange and what doesn't, and there's some strange stories. So, for example, you get off the plane in India where they have a fiat currency like we do, paper currency, and your taxi driver gives you a torn bill, you're going to discover that nobody else will accept that torn bill. That's just the convention of the country, even though if you were to take that bill to a bank, they would freely exchange it. It's just that there's an ethos in the country that if the bill is soiled or torn, no one will take it. And, of course, once you realize that, you won't take it either,
right,
and you therefore continue the cycle.
So, but isn't money all about trust?
It's entirely about trust. And in fact, if everybody is persuaded that something's money, then it's money. And
right.
So the flip side of the India story, where you have a legal tender that people won't take, is there was a great story in The Economist about Somalia. So after the Civil War, the central bank was gone, there was no effective government, and there were bills that had been issued by the old government that were still around. They had no legal standing whatsoever. They were just paper.
Mm-hmm.
But people decided that this is what they were going to use as money. So you had a currency with no legal legitimacy that everybody accepted, whereas in the India example, you have a currency that's legally supposed to be acceptable and no one will take it.
Why is this something small business owners should contemplate?
Well, I think they probably care more about the second piece, what I spoke about, which is the banking. And banking is something that's been around with us for almost as long as money,
mm-hmm.
because that's where you borrow and lend the
mm-hmm.
money that we were just talking about. And banking is, I don't know if it's one of Adam Smith's top
That's when trust is put on steroids, isn't it, when we go to banking?
And the power of leverage, trust plus leverage,
mm-hmm.
right? And so banking plays a super important role for small business and for big business, because this is how we intermediate savers and borrowers. I mean, there are always people who have excess capital because they're saving for retirement or college, what have you. And you remember, banking does a service for them, too, because they want to put that capital to use rather than just having it sit in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there are small business people and students and others who need that capital and, even after paying interest, can make productive investments. Banking, and I'm using banking very broadly because, as you know,
what is it about money that we don't understand that might be holding us back? That the revelation might help a small business owner.
Well, I think the power of leverage.
Yeah. Have we lost him? The leverage thing, folks. That's the key. When Charles talks about, we'll get him back on. When Charles talks about leverage, you know, money in 2008, the problem we had wasn't money. The money didn't cause the problem. It was when the banking, the banks on Wall Street, leveraged the money that had become assets, the mortgages. They turned mortgages and which represented real estate into securities. And then they leverage those. The problem we have today is not in the economy, is not money or the lack of money. The problem is when some people leverage that money, and that creates a bomb, which in our case went off on us in 2008. We're going to come back after these messages. We'll get Charles back on the line and talk about some other things like Bitcoin. Digital currency is going to be in your life before you die.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.